Let's open our Bibles to Philippians. Praise the Lord. And as we get back into this, I think the Lord has put one more study on my heart that we'll have in this time that we've had these little nuggets throughout Philippians. I've enjoyed it. I pray the Lord has encouraged you in these things. They're almighty, you know that, every scripture, but I'm just thankful for what he is bringing forth that he wants us to receive right now. But in this letter, Paul writing this from that prison, and once again, this letter so precise to those that are the Philadelphia saints there in Philippi. I love the thought of the church at Philippi, the Philippians. Doesn't just mean the horse, but it's the war horse. And you know that as you go on with the Lord, and that's all by his grace, you fight by his grace. And you fight the good fight of faith by his grace. And it's a battle, but we know the battle is the Lord's. But I believe what we're fighting all the time is, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me just to get into these scriptures. And isn't it amazing what a Bible study does? See, this is, I'll tell you, let him kiss you with the kisses of his mouth. That's what he's doing. And he equips you. That's those kisses. He's equipping you with all of the, if you will, the warfare for your war, your battle. And we know that the enemy is nothing in sight of the Word of God. We know exactly his place for what the Word of God tells us his place is. He's there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I'm thankful to God that the Lord is showing off his wonderful faithfulness and his grace in his vessels of mercy and grace. And this is where we're at. But as we get into this, just think of this again, this letter written to those specifically that were partakers of Paul's grace. From the first day until now, as Brother Paul said, ye have stayed in my gospel. That's mighty. Thank him tonight that you're here. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's get over to chapter 4. And verse 9, this is such a joy to my heart, this precious scripture and what God has laid out for us tonight. That's chapter 4, verse 9. Paul speaking here, he said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So once again, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I'd like to begin tonight emphasizing, see in me. See in me. This is all about what was in Paul. Once again, what was being said to these saints was because, and it could be said to these saints, because they abided in Paul's gospel. They knew what was in Paul. They knew what they had seen in him. They understood this. And once again, we need to understand, the human eye can't see what's in Paul. It can't. To see what's in Paul, it must be by faith. To see what's in Paul, it must be by believing the Word of God. Seeing what in Paul comes truly from the most holy faith. What does that mean? The most holy faith. Holy means sanctified, set apart. I believe that you have understood, as God has drawn you into this gospel, as God has brought you this way of the bridal truth, has it not set you apart? Come on now, be honest, you know that. And set you apart with suffering, hurt. Set you apart, though, in thankfulness, in joy, in praise to God, that, Lord, you gave me this gospel. You circled me out for this message, and you have set me apart, that vessel for the Master's use. And I thank God for this. Now, seeing what abides in the Apostle Paul. Think of that, what you see in me, what abides in the Apostle Paul. To see that, you must also have the same doctrine. Oh, yes, you can see Paul as an apostle, but what you see in the Apostle Paul must be because you see Paul's gospel and you're in that doctrine. You have the same love. You have the same passion. How could you really even understand this letter to the Philippians if you did not see what was in Paul? Amen? It would just be another book. It would just be a read. But you see what's in Paul because it was the message that was given to Paul. Amen. He was that chosen vessel unto God to bring forth this wonderful, the dispensation of the mystery of Christ in the church. What was given to Paul, as he says in Colossians, fulfills or completes the word of God. He's the one that said, you follow me as I follow Christ. If any man preach any other gospel, even me, let him be accursed. For there is no other gospel. Now, how could he state that? There was gospel, there was doctrine, we understand that. But what he's speaking of is the gospel for this age. The gospel for this time. What is the calling? The calling is for a bride to come forth out from among them for his son. Praise the Lord. So we see that seen in Paul to have that doctrine and that love and that passion, we see that truly to see it, you must be a cherubim friend with Paul. Those wings, praise God, that touch over the mercy seat. Following Paul as he followed Christ. And I thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, we have that in this place. And I say that with boldness because of the grace of God that is with us. Amen. I'll tell you what. After Sunday, I got a new attitude in grace. And some thought it already went too far. And I just said, well, you haven't seen anything yet. Praise God. You just don't realize how abased I can become, honey. Remember as David said that to his wife. You haven't seen anything yet. Amen. Now, my heart aches for those that hear this message and yet just sit on the premises of it. Just watch it come forth as opposed to entering in. Don't be like those sons of the prophets that see it afar off. It's wonderful to see it afar off, don't get me wrong. But that's not the place you're called. You're not called to be in front of the throne with a palm in your hand. That's not what you're calling. Your calling is in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning with your wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb's wife. That should give you chills. Praise God. Amen. And it's not even cold in here tonight. Praise the Lord. So, I thank God that we enter into that fellowship with one another. If you haven't moved into it, make the move. God will show it to you. He'll bring you into it. But here it is. The Apostle Paul and what is in the Apostle Paul and what you see in the Apostle Paul is the mark. It's the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Those that see it in Paul, the Lord says, mark them as well too. And why? Because it is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that is the treasure in their heart. And we thank the Lord that we know it's God that does this. And isn't it wonderful how Paul, he didn't say here, what you see me do, or what you see about me do. He precisely says, what you see in me do. Isn't that something? Who in the world would say something like that? I come up to you and say, you know what? You've been around me a long time. Now, what you see in me, I want you to do. Well, wait a second. I've just been observing what you did. But isn't that man? This is more than what a man can do. This is what God does with a heart. This is what God does with faith, the reality, by the grace of God. What he lights up. See, what he wants you to see is that illumination, the sun glory. Praise God. That was in Paul. Amen. It's the same thing as the children of Israel. They saw the acts of God, but Moses knew what? the ways of God. He knew why he moved that way. See, that's where Christianity today, it tries to mimic something on the outside as opposed to what God does. It's all from the heart. And it's all from the heart, and it's all from the heart of knowing this message and this message of the bridal truth. And there is something about a bridal saint. She rests. She's got peace. She's confident in the love of her husband. She's not confident in herself, but she knows she's got him because of that grace and how wonderful that is. Now, what's in Paul, what you see in Paul, is all truth and love. What you see in Paul is the word of his grace. What you see in Paul is all the mystery of Christ in him. And isn't it amazing? He says, do. Now see, if you didn't know the word of God, you wouldn't even understand. Well, what does that mean? I see it in you. What do you mean, do? What can I do? Well, you can't do anything. But that word do literally means perform. And really what this is saying is let the same faith and love that was in me perform that in you. Now, the word of God answers this. If you ever want to, you know, wrestle, and I pray, God, you don't want to wrestle with this, you know, Paul doing all of these works. Paul had to, if you will, boast at one time because all those guys were boasting among themselves. He said, you all just got to shut up here for a second. The Lord took me through this and shipwrecks and stonings and all of these different things. But it wasn't me. It wasn't I. It was the grace of God that was with me. Amen. So it all comes back to grace. It all comes back to this wonderful, wonderful word of his grace. This truth in love. I believe the Lord so magnified that in my heart and made it real. In thinking about, if you will, the man I was before I got married and fell in love, and the man I became in falling in love in that. As a man, as my brothers and sisters would tell you, that never did wash, that never cooked, never ever touched a vacuum, never did any of that stuff. But oh my, what happened when I fell in love? What happened, what I wanted to do, not because of something I thought, but just because it was in me. It's amazing what love will do. And I'll tell you what, love edifies. We're thankful. That's what spiritual encouragement is. But see, it's that same power that performed it all in Paul, grace, because grace is where all the power is. Amen? It's our all sufficiency in all things to superabound to every good work. Amen. Amen. That's grace. So what you see in me do, well, that grace, abide in it. That's what you do. You abide in grace. Isn't that interesting? We talked about that on Sunday morning. We're in the realm of grace, so we abide in it. But do you apprehend it? Do you see what I'm saying? So you can be somewhere, but do you apprehend it? Do you enter into it? Do you take it? And then just take it and take it and take it. Yeah, that transforming power of grace. Do you grow in it? Because we know the Word of God says we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It has to be grace. And you develop so much and you mature so much in grace of what you see in me, as Paul is saying here, that you too, hallelujah, will be offered and receive the same exalted rank of righteousness crown that was given unto me. See, that's what's so sweet, brothers and sisters, is this has one outcome if we'll go this way. And that's glorified together with him. It won't reap or bring anything else but that. This is a faith that is so fully grown that by grace you are presented with Brother Paul as his wife. You live a life, praise God, of loving his appearing. So, now that we enjoy and kind of chew on that, let's back up in this verse and let's read about these four things and let's let the Spirit minister to us in these four things of verse 9. Paul says, those things which ye have both learned, there's number one, received is number two, heard is number three, and seen, number four, in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It was very precious in meditating upon these things, and as the Holy Spirit takes you to the Word of God and shows you these different things, it was very sweet because it was very evident very quickly that these four things are the same alive grace that are in the four living ones of Revelation 4:7. And that's what we're going to study tonight. So turn over to Revelation 4:7. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, we're talking about those four living ones and what they looked like. But it wasn't what they looked like, it was what was in them. It was what they were, if you will, they were transformed from glory to glory, even into the very image of him. And each one of these four living ones represents each one of the Gospels. Matthew, the king, Mark, the calf, Luke, the man, and John, the overcoming eagle. All right? And we know that in that, these are the ones, as even John said as he was writing and wrote in Revelation, as that one took him through to show him all those things in heaven, John, the one who laid his head upon Jesus' breast, he heard his heartbeat. He touched him, felt him, kissed him. And yet there John was, bowing down a couple times to that one that was showing him around. And he said, "Now, brother, get up off your knees. You don't worship me." Because John thought that was Jesus himself. But that's how much she becomes like him. And this is exactly where this is going. So in Revelation 4:7, here is those four beasts. And well, let's just back up to verse 6 because we have to see where they're at. "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man and the fourth beast like a flying eagle." We'll just leave it at that for tonight in this study. But right there, we have the bridal company in the midst of the throne known as the four living ones or the four beasts. Now, how could it be anything but that, if you will, abiding in Paul, that we see in Paul? Because that's what happens when by grace we yield to all grace. When by grace you yield to all grace, you become one way, and that's like him. You're just like him. He's manifest in you. When you see ones in that regard, you see Christ in them, the hope of glory. That's what their life becomes. Now, let's get back and talk about each one of these. First of all, in Philippians 4:9, we see the first word there is learned. What ye have learned, as it says here. Learned, if you will, and seen in me. So learned, in a way, in me, or learned of me. Learned what was going on in my life. This literally means to increase in knowledge. And once again, this was the knowledge of Paul or Paul's gospel. This learned is the first beast, the lion. How do we receive this? Well, as the Word of God tells us in Proverbs 25:2, it's the honor of kings to search out a matter. Amen? Kings desire, brothers and sisters, truly, and pant after the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, knowledge. They do. Amen, they do. Amen, they do. Kings desire and pant after the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' knowledge. The king, as seen in Solomon, had wisdom and knowledge surpassing them all. The fully mature son that rules and reigns jointly is the result of the full knowledge of his birthright, that of a king. That one who rules and reigns jointly, that son that matures, has hastened to the instruction and the promise of Galatians 4:1. What does it say in Galatians 4:1? It says, "Now I say," once again, this is Paul, "that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." How much clearer could it be The emphasis of the Word of God is to grow up in the life that lives in you, Christian. And what is that life? Is that life to grow up to be a servant? That's not the intention, is it, at all? No. The intention is one thing for a son of God, to rule and to reign, to grow up in that royalty as a king, as a lion. Praise the Lord. This is so encouraging to my heart, what God wants for me. You'll reign over all if you'll grow up in the wisdom of it. This is the message of Paul's ruling and reigning gospel. The message of the king. I will say, and the message of the kings. We are crown wearers. We are not palm wavers. Amen. And that's not to brag about us. That's not to shine you. That's his heart. That is the Father's intention. Abba, as she said, our dad. And let me tell you something. I had a wonderful dad, naturally speaking. And he had things he wanted for me. And I honored that. And I'll tell you what. His word to me, thank you, Jesus, was gold. And it produced. But this is it. And this is forever. And this is yours. And this is no respecter of person. This is to all. And this is the life that's in every child of God. This is the life that's in every child of God. Isn't that a shame to think of what is happening to God's precious people? It's a wasted life. It's just like I see these kids out here that come into this city. And they just roam up and down here. The potential in those kids. And I'm still a believer. It's environment. It's nurturing. It's love. It is. And especially when we're talking about a child of the king. They have God's very own DNA. You know that. Do you see the importance? Don't squander that. Don't squander that. Most importantly, for our precious Savior, who died and became sin for you to have it. But as he said, I forgave your iniquities for my sake. If you don't think he's a lover, you're nuts. All right. So that's learned. So next we have the word received. So this received, this means to join oneself to it. If you will, this received means to become a companion. It intimates here a spouse, if you will. When we fall in love, it's not only to reign as kings. I thank the Lord for that. But it's not to just reign as kings. But when we fall in love, it's also to embrace the sufferings with our spouse. Amen, it is it not? Praise the Lord. Because that's where we're called to. Matter of fact, it's the due benevolence. I love that. That's the gifts between the husband and wife of those sufferings that the Lord allows us to partake with him. We're blessed. We're blessed. And see, that's the only, you'll never see that unless you truly, as you say, see in Paul. What you see in me. Because Paul is the one that brought this forth. This is why so much of the percentage of this preaching of Christianity is a prosper and be in health. You'll never see that in Paul. That's not Paul's gospel. That's where Demas went when he left Paul. Because it sounded good to man. Draw a lot of big crowds. I can tell you a lot of things that'll itch your ears and pump you up. You're a good guy and you set up your goals and you go after them and I better stop. I'll get nasty here in a minute. All right. But you know, that's just dung and that's exactly what that is. But see, most think of this calf, if you will, the second beast, as a servant. And I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. I think there's so much more to this calf. She's a wife that jointly suffers. There's a sacrifice in that calf. Amen? That heifer, if you will, because it truly is means a heifer as well, too. Now, a servant will suffer in a sense, but they're only going to go so far. That's true. But an in-love spouse will embrace every fiber of the suffering of her mate. She won't even let that mate suffer without her. You let me get in there. Get out of here. No, I'm coming in there. Paul, I'll tell you a couple stories when we were traveling. Can't tell them from up here, but boy, I was stuck somewhere. And that was done. We were in East Germany when that happened. And that's when they used to have East and West Berlin. I got stuck in that bathroom. I'm okay, I'm okay. She's, no, you're not. Should have said, I'm suffering. Well, I'm coming in there to suffer with you. That was funny. Oh, God. But see, but I mean this. But that's a spouse. There's a different level. We're not called to be servants. This is why you willfully suffer with him. Because the joy of his love, the joy that's set before you, this wonderful Jesus and this love, it's not to rule and reign with him. That makes him happy, and I'm thankful, oh my, beyond expectation, to be glorified together with him. But to be loved and to know I'm loved with the intensity and the immensity of his love. I want to go. I want to go. There isn't anything of this life that satisfies like that. A spouse will gladly enter into whatever the challenge and the sorrow is, just to be with her lover and gladly suffer together with him. See, it's beautiful. And this is the much the more doctrine that we have, and how much the more there always is. Praise God. Okay, number three. This might be my favorite. What ye have heard in me. I love that. I like to hear in Paul. I take this as all in that precious vessel. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We see that so wondrously. We're graced to have that ear to continue to hear the whole counsel of God. And even after we have learned and after we receive, you know what? There's still more to hear. You know, there's a lot of people that have entered into this and have learned and received, and they don't think they need to hear no more. I got news for you. You're only halfway there. That's a halfway house. You better keep hearing. And you better keep hearing, no matter if you don't like the one that God has chosen to speak it. You hear. Now, that's how it is. And I love that, because this is that third beast, the man. As men, we hear. I appreciate, as the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. It was chosen of the Lord that faith comes by hearing. This is what's going on right now. This is how our faith is instilled in our life. This is how we gain. This is how we gain in faith. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I thank the Lord that that hearing that we have been graced to have in this place for decades has been the hearing of the whole counsel of God in Christ Jesus. That high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I thank the Lord for it. But this exemplifies, if you will, the human faith. Specifically, the faith of the Son of God. That's how we live, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? Because Christ lives in us. And we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Once again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is how we grow. We grow by hearing the word. I was thankful in testifying to a sister this week. I know it's difficult. It's difficult sometimes to get into church. Sometimes you live far away. Sometimes money can be a factor. Kids can be a factor. A lot of different situations. But I'll tell you what, don't let it be an excuse. You'll always have an excuse. You'll have an excuse that you don't feel well, that you had a hard day. You had this. I'm so thankful the Lord didn't give any excuses when he got up on that cross. He said, I'm going. This is mine. And by the grace of God. And I believe that the Lord is settling in our hearts. There's no better. There's not just better. There's no other place I want to be. I want to be with you to hear the word of God. I thank the Lord. I appreciate my son saying it. Dad, it just doesn't make sense. We're so all different. And in this world, we'd be a powder keg. But in Christ, we're sun glory. And one mind. Amen. In Christ. That's what's so marvelous. It is. It's just Jesus. So, we hear the word of God, specifically hearing Paul's gospel, and in that we grow up completely. You notice that this third beast, it wasn't, well, he didn't see a boy or he didn't see a girl. It was the face of a man, fully grown. Praise the Lord. And by grace, how triumphantly God has graced us to hear what we hear. Now, finally, this last one, I love that, what ye see in me. The fourth beast is the eagle. We think of the eagle as soaring, amen, overcoming. It is a representation of the full overcomer. But why is that eagle the full overcomer it is? Is it just because it can fly? No, it's because it can see. It's because of them eyes. They see beyond. Those eyes that see with enlightened eyes of understanding. As it started beforehand with all of those beasts, they had eyes within and without. I mean, they had them all over the place. The Bible tells us, without a vision, the people perish. And it's true. Our eyes need to be enlightened with understanding more and more all the time. Yeah. We're either going to grow dim to one thing or the other. We're either going to grow dim to the Word of God if we don't want to see it, or our eyes are going to grow dim to this world because we see the Word of God. So, as we close this up tonight, seeing in Paul, what you see in me. I love to see in Paul. You know what I see in Paul? I see the chief of sinner. I see me. But yet I see the divine grace. And I see that same divine grace doing the same thing it did in Paul and me. I see in Paul the scriptures in Paul. I see the word of God completely when I see in Paul. You understand that? What happens when you see in Paul is you see the whole word of God rightfully divided. You see all of the stories of the Old Testament. You see them in the glory that they are for our lives, that were written for us. And not just a story. It's the word of God that was written for us. It was even the very proposal of the bride written over and over for us. That was hidden. But you can't see that unless you see in Paul. There's no other writer that said this. What you see in me. And see, God had to put that in him. And God had to put that in you. Do you see this grace? This is just as if you were the one that walked on that road to Damascus, ready to kill them all that professed the name of Jesus. He He put that in you. Oh, it's so wonderful. We're never going to be thankful enough. But I thank God I've got a body like unto His own that's coming. And I've got eternities all to come to at least build on that thankfulness. But see, I'll tell you, it's because their eyes of understanding saw the ways of God in Paul. Seeing the scriptures in Paul, I see one thing. I see that I too am a full overcomer, soaring eagle in Christ Jesus. You see that? See, if I looked at the outside of Paul, I wouldn't see that. I have to see in Paul, in Christ. You see what I'm saying? See, people always want to look on the outside. I understand the Word of God, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. I get that completely. That's mighty. But I'm going to tell you, that mighty will never, ever even begin to come forth unless it's in you. And there are works and works and works and works. And the Word of God talks about the seven churches. And look at the works that come forth from those churches. Amazing. You even think about the work that went forth in Ephesus. All of those things that were manifest that people could see. But the one thing God knew that He held against Him, He said, I have one thing against you. You left your first love. Now nobody else could see that. But you know who did? The Lord did. Yes. Well, I'll tell you what. In Paul is one kind of love, and that's first love. It just abides there. And in Paul, I thank the Lord. What abided in Paul was always gazing upon the mercy seat. You see that? Once again, in Christ. What's in us? What's in us? Christ. Christ is in us. We read and rejoiced on Sunday. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Yeah. I'm new man. I'm new man. Praise the Lord. But you know what? You ain't always going to see that on the outside. But I'll tell you one thing on the inside, it'll never change. It will never, ever, ever change. Seen in Paul, sees the tents of Kedar, and I'll tell you what, and sees the curtains of Solomon. Seen in Paul, sees the wretched man, but the grace of the pearl of great price. Paul's eyes once again gaze on one thing, and that's the mercy seat. That's what's in Paul. Eyes that see in Paul see from one and only one vantage point, brothers and sisters, divine grace. It sees from the midst of the throne, glorified together with Him, looking out over the kingdom, looking out over the crystal sea, looking out over the palm wavers. Amen. Eyes that see in Paul see through the tribulation. And see your place of ruling and reigning and carrying out all the things of judgment with the Lamb. And I think finally, the thing that I see in Paul that maybe is the height of it all is the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness to come for all eternity. Because I see in Paul that I am my beloved's and His desire is toward me. And I thank God that I'm getting a more glorified attitude of grace. And all I can ask the Lord is, do it. Amen. Perform it. Amen. All that I see in Paul, all that I see in Paul, perform it in me. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. I pray that's been an encouragement there. Just amazed at the detail. And the detail that we see in a through a glass darkly. What's to come? Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise his name.